WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Pro Wrestling Sports Entertainment.
You on drugs?
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Everything that guy just says is bullshit.
Bringing you the news and everything else in the world of professional wrestling.
You will not use that kind of language in my court. You understand me?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
I'm wearing clothes.
The Omega.
I apologize, sir, but this is how I dress.
And the producer, Sir Rocket.
That's one hell of an ego you've got.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler, Keishi Matsunaga.
Living formal, aren't we?
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels, and you are listening to Wild Talk Radio.
It's me. It's that D-O-double-G mobbing once again with Wild Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pac with D-Generation X.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Let's get this cleared up right now.
And the free TuneIn app on your mobile device.
You were serious about that?
WTR Sunday night.
Sit down and stay there until you're told to leave.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. It is our WWE Backlash pay-per-view coverage where we get to talk about the greatest wrestling match ever. When we're done with the pay-per-view, we will talk about Shawn Michaels versus The Undertaker. Looking forward to that. But first, we gotta get through the pay-per-view, so we should probably get along with that.
That'd be a smart idea.
Yeah, Alright, so, welcome to the show. I am the Omega, the be-all, end-all of the network. Joining me tonight, we have our producer, Sir Rockin.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm doing some math at the moment, so.
Oh no.
Tonight's the end.
Oh no.
Tonight's the end.
Oh, it's the end.
Tonight's the end. So I'm doing math.
Oh, that mask.
Yeah. And just let me tell you, there's a minus 14 hanging above someone's head tonight.
Oh, well, God damn it.
I'm not winning, so I don't care.
It's a minus 14 that's hanging above someone's head.
All right, also joining us tonight, we have Keishi Matsunaga.
Do I get points?
You don't have a team.
Oh, okay.
Next time, you'll be on Tim's team next time.
You'll be on Team Canada next time.
That makes sense.
Yeah, unless Scott D'Amore's leading you, you're not winning. And as you heard chime in, we also have at the head of the table the one and only Tim Stein.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to a Backlash pay-per-view edition of WTR Sunday Night. Ooh. Wanting to make sure y'all can hear me, that's all.
We've always been
talking with that smooth 70s FM radio voice.
To go with the very generic music we had to open the show.
It was very 70s generic.
I felt like I was in an elevator.
Good. You expect more of that in the weeks to come.
I can't help but feel, I get a sense of, royalty free, Rock.
Yeah. We're being very careful right now.
Why are we being very careful right now?
Cause Twitch had got a lot of DMCA takedowns.
Oh, so you're being careful.
We're being very careful.
Interesting that we can still play the current, intros then.
We're okay with the intros because no one's clipping. They're going after clips right now.
I see. And well, that's really goofy.
Because people with like 50,000 clips on the big channels, they got a lot of notices.
And how much longer is this going to last?
We'll see. So we're going to have elevator music for a while.
There you go. Okay. Well, speaking about elevators, there were some ups and downs with this pay-per-view, but mostly downs. That's all I got to say about that.
Why were there downs, Tim?
It was a typical Backlash pay-per-view. Most of it wasn't really entertaining, but there were a couple of, like literally 2.5 really good matches. Or 2.5 really good things happening. Let's put it that way. Cause one of them wasn't a match.
But you missed, like, forget the main event, cause that's just a whole other piece of work. The opening match that you missed was really good.
What, Sheamus versus Jeff Hardy?
No, the women's tag match.
Oh, the women's tag match was really good? Well, yeah. I was giving them credit in absentia.
Okay.
How does that work?
That works fine. I don't know if that was in part of you too, but okay. We'll go there. We'll give you that.
Okay. Yeah. Let's give me that one. As you know, I work until 5 o'clock Mountain on Saturdays and then I have to get in my car and drive home. So.
But today's Sunday.
Did I say Saturdays?
You did.
Well, okay. I work until 5 Sundays.
There you go.
Not some days. Sundays.
All right. Let's get into the show, Tim.
And practically every other day. Yeah. Of course, it kicks off with pre-show. Pre-show, as you know, is the free view, and it's designed to hype you up and get you to purchase a WWE Network where you can get Backlash for free if you signed up while you watched Sheamus beat down Jeff Hardy, guys.
No.
No?
Those are incorrect statements of all kinds.
Okay. What was this? What's correct?
It was a U.S. title match. Andrade and Apollo Crews.
Oh, Andrade and Apollo Crews kicked it off.
Yeah.
You know what? That's true because I'm winging it here because again, I was at work.
Thought you would have had at least a card and stuff.
Anyway, Kevin Owens makes an appearance.
Kevin Owens came with his fanciest of ties that he borrowed from Byron to do commentary.
That tie looks strangely familiar.
Why? Do you have it in your closet?
No. It just looked like it was complicit in an fireable event.
That guy's not there anymore. Are you telling me that he left his tie behind?
The tie outlasted him. So tell us, Rock, seeing as I wasn't there.
It was your average Andrade-Apollo Crews match. Apollo Crews retained. So, yay. It was solid. Just a regular generic wrestling match to get you excited for the show, kind of. It was there.
Did it work? Did it get you excited?
Meh. I've seen the match before.
I've
seen the match before, and Apollo Crews does nothing for me. He doesn't get me excited. But you had Angel Garza get involved in the end, which saw Kevin Owens take him off the apron, hit the stunner, allowing Crews to hit his spinning powerbomb for the win, which was really awkward because he tried to keep Andrade's shoulders down, but he couldn't quite get his legs on top of Andrade's shoulders. So it was a really long, awkward attempt to get the count started.
Really, really interesting. What did Owens do? Well, because he came out, what did he do?
Commentary. He wore his fanciest of ties and did commentary.
Is that all he did?
And then he gave a stunner to Garza. I just said this.
And then what happened?
Then Crews won.
And then what happened?
We got the main show, Tim.
I'm trying. Come on, give me a break.
Are you really trying? Okay, that was your main show. It opened up with the Triple Threat Women's Tag Team title match. It had the Boston Hunt Connection, Sasha Banks and Bayley defending against Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross and the Iconics.
And here's me not seeing the match, that one segment where all six competitors were in the ring at the same time was, really well done.
Yes, Tim. It was what? Good.
The best way to describe this matchup was chaotic and very fun. All six really tried hard. There was no really slow points to the matchup. There was one awkward dive when Payne tried to dive on everyone on the outside, but it was a lot of fun, and it kept you interested, it kept you hooked into the match because there were no rest holds. It was just straight chaotic wrestling, everyone had a moment of shine, and it was very enjoyable.
Yeah, I liked a lot of the three-person sequences that they had throughout the match. I thought they were done really well, and they were pretty, they didn't look super sloppy.
No.
Overall, yeah, I thought everybody worked hard, and I thought this was done very well. Like, there wasn't as much of, like, three people in the ring at once, so we're gonna throw one person out and do two at a time. They really worked at utilizing the three people in the ring at a time to try and make it different than most three people in the ring matches that we usually see.
If there were a moment where there were two people in the ring, it was within 30 seconds someone else was back in. That's how quick it was in this matchup. People give the Iconics a lot of, I guess, hate for some their ring work, but Peyton and Billy worked their asses off in this matchup.
Mm-hmm.
They were really on point.
Yeah, no, I thought everybody in this match did a good job.
Alexa worked really hard as well, just doing some of her spots. Overall, this was really good. Bayley and Sasha stole the victory and retained their titles. Alexa hit her moonsault, and then Sasha ran in and got the quick pin on her for the victory.
I saw on social media all day today, a lot of people were speculating that this will finally be a breakup between Bayley and Sasha. Didn't happen.
I
wasn't expecting it either.
Then they don't know really long-term booking. Because they're in a really long-term booking phase with the two of them.
At the moment, yes, they are. But these were talking people on Twitter.
I understand that.
Just to clarify that.
All right. What was, I believe, Jeff Hardy and Sheamus was next?
Next up on the card, Sheamus taking on Jeff Hardy. Can we talk about the exact verbatim, literal, step-by-step urine test thing?
We have to.
It was identical, absolutely identical to what they did some years ago with Shawn Michaels.
2010, I think. 2009,
yes, it was like 10 years ago.
2006.
Was it 2006?
Was it?
Was it all? It may have been, yeah. It could have been. 2006, yeah, when he's fighting Vince 23. Yeah. Been a while.
There were only three things missing, and that was Vince, Shane, and Shawn.
So they even did the whole line of the pissed off line. So the internets are an interesting place. Let's call it as it is. The internets is a really interesting thing. And they found the doctor. Or the dude who played the doctor. Anyone ever hear of the website called Fiverr?
Fiverr?
Yes.
Yeah.
So you can hire people to do different things off of Fiverr. So they hired the guy off of Fiverr. Now, we all know Vince McMahon. We all know what gets him really excited about things, right?
Big guys?
Big guys and dick humor. Here's part of the dude's reel.
Ligma. Ligma, what you ask? Ligma balls.
Now we understand why the doctor got hired. Oh, and the thing you didn't see in that, he did a dab after that joke. And he does a bunch of those same type of jokes, and then dabs. So you know they showed this to Vince and he laughed. And yeah, let's get that guy.
All right then.
So everyone enjoy Sheamus versus Jeff Hardy from 2009? I mean, wait, it's 2020. It was a match.
The match itself was all right. Nothing really overly exciting.
Nope.
It would have worked really well on SmackDown.
Yep.
But not as a main event. A semi-main event on SmackDown.
I wouldn't even call it your semi-main event. I would just call it a match on SmackDown.
Or the start of the second hour.
Maybe.
But I do have to admit, I'm kind of surprised that they didn't give the win to Jeff, because with the booking leading up to the match here, it just had that feeling that it was going to be Jeff coming out victorious.
But they got to think long term, Tim. Long term.
Yes, I know long term, but they didn't book it that way.
But there's more to come, and now Jeff has to overcome Sheamus one more time. so we can really overcome his demons.
Of course.
Or until we find out it wasn't Sheamus who ran him over with a car. It's someone else with red hair that probably bought a Sheamus wig from WWEshop.com.
Well, I was going to say, didn't they get rid of the other guy with red hair? So, yeah.
It was Beaker.
Thank you, Omega. I don't know if you guys heard that or not, but anyways. Yeah, it was a match. Sheamus wins. What else do you want to say about it? Anybody got anything to say about it?
No, like literally that joke is all I have to say.
That was probably a joke of the night material. So.
Yeah, it was just a match.
It was
there
the
you
same,
go.
Same match they worked in 2009 here in 2020.
Yeah, it had a couple of attempts at false finishes with finishers being hit, but, you know.
Also, Jeff should know that when he goes to the ring wearing mesh, he will get ripped.
Oh, he looked more pissed off over his ripped shirt than he did for the loss, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, anyway. So, Keish, what are you going to add? Anything?
No. You guys covered it from bell to bell. I have nothing to add.
Well, then, how about you tell us what you thought about Asuka defending against Nia for the women's title?
I'm glad Asuka retained her belt.
Well, she didn't lose the belt, but she didn't win it or retain it.
She retained. No, it's a successful
retain. She retained.
I said she retained. I didn't say that I was happy that she won. I said I was happy that she retained.
She didn't defend the belt, but she retained it.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's a better way of saying it.
When she walked away from the ring after the bell rang, the belt was in her hands, and that made me happy.
That's all that matters.
But
so.
As long as it's not Nia.
But here's to make you sad, means we're going to get another one.
We sure are.
I'm so looking forward to more Nia Jackson Asuka.
Yeah, you'd be the only one if you weren't lying through your teeth. Anyway.
I mean, they could in fact put on the greatest match ever. They could. If Nia was a better worker. And
well,
stuff.
I mean, yeah. do we think they're gonna draw it out to...
If you replaced Nia Jax with, like, Becky Lynch, yes, then they could have the greatest match ever.
What I think we're going to get is a triple threat match at Extreme Rules with Charlotte, Asuka, and Nia.
I'm sick of Charlotte in the title picture for any brand.
Then, Tim, go to change.org. There's a petition to stop Charlotte from getting in title matches.
Seriously, is there?
Yes.
Let's go sign it. That's funny.
It's stupid. It's not, by the way, it's not a wrestling headline, people. Stop it.
It's funny because it's so sad. I mean, I'm sick of Charlotte in the title picture, but I'm not going to start a petition.
Oh my God, I got 500 people out of 2 million, 3 million people that watch Raw to get her out of the title picture. Oh my God.
Sounds like a majority to me.
Yeah.
That's going to sway, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
God.
All right.
I just, with this match, I just got the feeling that, they screwed up the end of the match. I got the sense that it was supposed to be a 9 count with Asuka making the ring just as the ref counted 10.
No.
As opposed to being a double count out. Now, they may have booked it as a double count out. It just felt like they screwed up the timing. Not the tightest of matches.
I'll say this. I'll give this match a positive note. Asuka tried her ass off to get something out of Nia.
Asuka did her damnedest to carry Nia, which is no small feat. And no, I'm not making fun of Nia being a bigger girl. I'm making fun of Nia not being a great wrestler. I just wanted to clarify that because I didn't need any flack this week. So, but the other positive we can take away is Asuka didn't leave the ring injured.
That we know of.
As far as we know.
That we know of.
Cause that match actually happened live tonight, didn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. There's only a couple of things that were recorded, so.
Let's get to some positive stuff. What's next, Tim?
Another match. Strowman versus Miz and Morrison in a handicap match for the, for Strowman's title.
Hey, hey, hey. Ho,
yo.
Ho.
Those two were actually doing their own singing, weren't they?
Oh yeah.
It may have been, yeah, produced, but if they actually got together and did a legitimate duet, I mean, that's the most entertaining part about this match tonight was their video.
Hey, hey, hey.
And the fact, the fact that they could actually, not just carry a tune, but harmonize, which was, kind of impressive and a tiny bit surprising. But overall, I found this match to be very, very sloppy, Omega.
Just say it. Hey, hey, hey. Ho, ho.
No.
He won't say it.
He won't. He should.
He doesn't have to. Quit pressuring him.
I told you before, like, the thing that interests me the most in this match was Miz and Morrison.
Yep.
And who's gonna get the pinfall? And we only saw it come into play toward the end.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was my frustration with the match.
Was Miz pulling Morrison off?
I mean, before the match, yes, but then during the match.
Oh God. You actually made that joke and you give me shit for mine. Wait a minute.
Hey, hey, hey.
But yeah, we only got one spot where Miz pulled Morrison off the pin.
Then he realized, oh my God, no, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. And then they went to the finish.
Yeah. But yeah, seriously, the best part of the match, Miz and Morrison. I don't care about Strowman being the champion. I don't mind. But I just don't see him putting a lot of butts in seats like Brock is capable of doing, KG.
Yeah. I mean, I was more entertained by that match than you guys were, and I think a lot of that was because of Miz and Morrison and how hard they were working. But yeah, I mean, it's not that I don't like Braun Strowman, it just,
he's very limited at what he can do.
Yeah.
A Braun Strowman match can't go 10 minutes or longer. Not if you want to keep him champion.
Nope.
But, yeah, no, Keishi, I think that, all three of us, well, four if you include Rock, are team Miz and Morrison. Hey. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Hey, for the match, yeah.
Ho, ho. I'm entertaining myself.
Omega, he found something to replace the other thing.
No, I'm also pissing off Brent because he hates it and he's listening, so I'm just doing it over and over again to piss him off.
Oh, you're pissing all of us off just to annoy the intern.
Yes.
Oh my God. That sucks because I could almost get behind it. Almost.
Because he just called me a dick, so you know we're good.
Oh, you are a dick. What's wrong with that?
No, we're good. I got the reaction. We're good.
Okay, you got the reaction. Okay, let that be a lesson. If somebody's trying to push your buttons, don't react. They'll eventually go away. So there it is. And then now we got McIntyre defending against Bobby Lashley. Rock, you and I had a quick little chat about this.
Yeah.
Without getting into specifics, if Lashley loses, he and MVP get relegated to mid-card status. Omega, would you agree with that?
Okay, I'm just going to apologize now. I'm kind of distracted at the moment, so.
Okay.
If I lose track of the narrative, I apologize.
Playing with your Transformers again, aren't you?
Anyway, MVP losing, I mean, Lashley losing is a bad thing. He lost the match. Him and MVP is a mid-card act now. Like, you have no credibility. If you're gonna bring in MVP to be the mouthpiece and to get him over, should have put the belt on him tonight. Even if it was for a month, it wouldn't have hurt Drew losing the belt for a month. I mean, if you go back to the Sacred Attitude era, that belt never stayed on someone more than 3 months.
Okay, Keishi, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, they could have done more with Lashley had he won, and now that he's lost, there isn't a whole lot for him to do. So.
Except get a divorce.
I mean, that's how they're gonna keep him on TV, but after that happens, then what?
You're also out of contenders for Drew. You're running really short on contenders, so even if you, you know, flop the belt around for a month or two, you could have kept the feud going. Now you've blown through the feud. I don't know where else you go.
I actually found this match to be quite good and pretty damn entertaining. Of course, I'm a McIntyre fan with his second coming, if you will. What's that? Go ahead.
Well, yeah, the match was good. It's just, unfortunately, the outcome kind of grinds everything to almost a halt for both guys.
They are kind of stuck in what they could do right now. I mean, you're out of contenders on Raw. You got to build people up. Lashley was about the only one they had that they could build up, and they didn't want to take it off of Drew this close to WrestleMania. Like, you had him put down Lesnar and Big Show in one night. You're not going to have, you know, Lashley put him down with a full Nelson.
That would be a little bit, yeah, a little bit wrong. But, the predictability factor of when is Lana gonna cost Bobby the match? When is this gonna happen? That was the big detraction for me, because you knew it was gonna happen. It was just a question of when is she gonna show up.
And then she showed up.
Yep.
And McIntyre retained. She took a bump in a dress. Well done.
Does it count if it's on MVP though?
Yes.
I mean, it's still a bump.
Technically, that makes it the best match she's ever had.
You've got a point.
No so, arguments here.
There you go. So yeah, Drew McIntyre retains. I don't think we're done seeing McIntyre Lashley. Do you guys?
Probably not.
I don't know. See the reason to continue it. Drew won.
Because they don't have anyone else right now.
It'll be interesting to see how they keep it going.
Well, they got a month to figure out something for the next pay-per-view, don't they?
They do, and with all the creative shake-up.
Yeah, which is something we could talk about.
Hey guys, the guy who ripped off the exact storyline from 14 years ago, word for word, note for note, he runs everything now.
Yep, thanks.
Well, I mean, you gotta give him a break. He's got twice the workload on him now. He can't come up with brand new stuff for everybody.
Well, either he should, or he should be given help. But to take Heyman off creative on Raw and make him nothing but an in-ring character performer, the reports are that Raw was sagging and the blame got put on Heyman, which is, you know, like, he gets so much credit for good storylines and good writing. And they let him, they take him out of the position because Raw is struggling. Is he got more of a reputation nowadays than actual ability anymore?
He was also given the worst situation possible for the last 3 months.
Well, it hasn't been the greatest for him either. This is true.
Heyman's good at booking for the live crowd. He's good at doing the spectacular spots. You think about when he first took over Raw and all the big explosions and hoopla he would do, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now he's booking in a performance center where you can't do anything big and stuff.
He can write really well for a live crowd.
He was also given that, he was also told, get people over, make new people. And he's helped build Andrade and Angel Garza, Apollo Crews, Aleister Black, etc.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't know how they're working, because you can't judge the social media reaction to them, because it's social media. The only way to judge if someone's actually over is by that live crowd.
It's by the live crowd, and you can't tell. I mean, yeah. We can talk about if we like Aleister Black or not. Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. And to Vince only knows one thing. He knows how to book for a live reaction.
Reactions in the moment.
And that's all he knows. He doesn't know closed set television these days. Cause that's what they got.
Yeah. Yeah. When we've seen him do closed sets, when we've seen the bits that he really, really is into, it's the dumbest shit on the entire show. Vince's tastes are sophomoric, ultimately.
Clearly, as we demonstrated earlier.
Which is weird to say about a 70-plus-year-old man, but yes.
So now Vince has to figure out what he wants, and he wanted new people. To him, they're not getting over. That's why the pushes keep changing. And you knew all along Heyman was not going to be the long-term fix, especially when the pandemic hit. and Vince lost his other project.
Mm, no.
Remember the reports? Vince wasn't showing up for some shows, right? Back in the, yep. in the winter, early winter.
Uh-huh.
Now he has nothing else to do.
But show up for the shows.
I mean, you expect them to butt heads. I mean, Heyman's big role in, what, 2003, when he took over SmackDown? Whatever year it was, 2003, I think. He was able to run SmackDown for, what, a year?
Mm-hmm.
Before he got fired? He had ECW for, what, 6 months? I mean, history's there. He doesn't get along with Vince for, like, they can get along to get along, but creatively, they butt heads.
Well, it's almost like the old story of the, you know, the old definition of insanity, doing the same thing, expecting different results.
So, Heyman lasted almost a year. He was short 2 weeks.
Fuck. Wonderful. All right. So up next was something, very entertaining. People aren't 100% sure what we saw.
We saw
ninjas. But it happened.
We saw ninjas.
We saw ninjas.
Ninjas riding in on ninjas.
Yeah, those were ninjas, weren't they?
Kawasaki ninjas.
Yeah. Shit. Anyway, we're talking about the Prophets and the Vikings, in case you guys haven't figured it out. And there's one member of our loyal listener group who's currently in chat posted on the Twitter machine. He enjoys these things, but he doesn't want them every single pay-per-view. I told him to shut up. This was good. It was weird. It was different. It was out there, but it was fun. It was a mini movie, a yet another mini movie. And it all played on anything you can do, I can do better. And these guys trying to one-up each other and beat the crap out of each other and out-contest each other. And then they joined forces against the ninjas on the ninjas. And apparently Ivar's cute, but Eric not so much.
That's been the gimmick all along.
It's the running gag.
That is the
running gag.
Slightly overplayed, but I think the gag is not the overplayed gag, but the fact that it's overplayed. That's the gag.
I mean, it's a very forced gag when the girl has to like look at Eric and go, "You, not so much."
No. That's okay. That's okay. I got you, fam. Omega, did you feel like you were watching an episode of Ninja Turtles or something?
Yes, and you would know that because that was my exact comment during the chat.
I know. That's why I brought it up. Go for it.
Because it was like, well, aside from we had four heroes battling random masked ninjas.
Yep.
It was everything was very cartoonish, from the flashbacks to the random weaponry to just the bizarre happenings throughout the entirety of this segment. It was ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And like, there's part of me where it's like, okay, this is silly enough that I'm laughing, but it's also like really taking me out of the wrestling vibe.
Yeah.
Cause this is a little too clown shoes for me. This is going a little bit too far.
Okay. So that was just a little bit out there.
I mean, when Akira Tozawa rides up with an army of ninjas he's apparently had and never like used for his matches or anything.
Uh-huh.
And he just randomly picks a fight with them.
For no reason at all.
With subtitles that were not saying anything you could do, I could do better. That is not what he was saying.
No, it wasn't. I don't have a clue what he was actually saying, but I know he wasn't saying that. But where'd they find the 10-foot tall guy
his name's Jordan something or other. It's a hard name, last name to pronounce. He's at the, in NXT developmental at the PC.
Is he?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay then.
We're tall enough?
He can duck. But yeah, he...
Of course, that could be partially, forced perspective maybe.
No,
this dude is tall.
He's tall. He's a big dude.
Okay. Fair enough. But, we did get a couple of Star Wars references, or nods to Star Wars.
He's 7'3", 334 pounds.
That's a big mofo. But let's see, what did we get? We got the Garbage Masher from Star Wars.
With a rubber alligator tail.
The rubber alligator tail, yeah. And then, apparently Ivar is now, a Jedi, but can only summon turkey legs.
What more do you need, though?
He pulled a turkey leg from across the, across the parking lot.
There you go. And just for a little historical accuracy, guys, turkey is a North American bird. It didn't exist in Europe. It was North American exclusive. Just, you know, for the sake of historical accuracy. Holy shit. The guy towers over Nash.
Yeah.
He is big.
Yeah.
Okay.
No force perspective there. That's a...
No, that is not. I stood beside Kevin Nash. Yeah, I know exactly how tall that guy is.
The hell?
Okay, I'm
on... He's on the floor and his head is at the same level as the top rope.
That's just like scary. Oh my goodness. Should throw that link in the chat room for people to take a look.
Please, please.
I'm going to.
Please do not have the moveset of the Great Khali. Please be able to do stuff in the ring.
Yeah, please be able to actually move.
So anyway, we had a tag title match that never happened. So it was what it was. Let's get to the main event, Tim.
The main event tonight, of course, the greatest match ever. Is that what they were billing it as?
The greatest wrestling match ever.
And of course we're talking about Edge taking on Randy Orton. And we all said last week, Omega, that this thing was going to be a disappointment in that there's no way it could live up to the hype. Well, I wasn't disappointed. It may not have lived up to all that hype, but damn, it was a good wrestling match.
It was. It was. You could tell they were both going for it as hard as they could. They were trying to put on the best, you know, I don't think they were trying to live up to the name, but I think they were trying to have the best match that both were capable of.
Totally agreed. Keishi.
Yep. Well, like I said last week, as long as Randy Orton kind of steps up and didn't give us the type of match that he's accustomed to giving, it was going to be good. And I thought he did so, the beginning of the match, the way that they were going, because it was very slow to start, I was like, oh, well, here we go. And then it picked up and just kind of, was what I wanted to see from it. Like you say, nowhere near the greatest wrestling match ever. But it's the greatest wrestling match Randy Orton has given us in quite a while.
Years.
So there's a few things that we need to talk about. One, little Nate was in the blue referee shirt with the bow tie.
Mm-hmm.
We had the MSG microphone with the Fink doing the introduction,
which was absolutely awesome.
It was a great touch.
Yeah.
And it was very hit or miss on Twitter. The crowd piped in noise.
We actually talked about that, excuse me, on Skype. And I didn't feel it to be overdone. I said so.
There were a couple spots it went a little too far.
Yeah, like when they were wrestling and you could hear like just like crowd noise, not necessarily cheering, but it was like making it sound like they were in an arena and like there were just people talking. It seemed kind of unnecessary.
Potentially a little much, but it would be hard to just cut the piped in crowd noise completely, except for, you know, the big crowd pops.
Yeah, and
because that would sound
weirder. I don't think they needed to pipe in "This is awesome" chant.
Well, the developmental talent surrounding ringside picked it up and carried that, I thought, for a lot of the chanting.
Well, I mean, they did and they didn't, because there were definitely times when the "This is awesome" chant was being piped in, and you could see the guys behind the plexiglass clapping and their mouths not moving.
Yeah, but,
like, yeah, I mean. If they had killed the piped in crowd and just let the crew there due to this is awesome chance, I would have liked it better.
Mm. Yeah, fair enough. Okay. Omega?
Yeah, I feel like when you're piping in this is awesome chance into the, that's a little bit, it's a little egotistical, I feel.
Pretentious.
It's pretentious. It is. Because yeah. Okay, when the crowd's doing that and they're like honestly that into it, okay, fine. You know, maybe this is awesome and Fight Forever are overplayed as far as wrestling chants go, but they're becoming just, you know, that they're just becoming signature chants of a wrestling crowd.
Mm-hmm.
It is when the wrestling crowd themselves decides that, you know, this is the right time. This, you know, now this match has hit the point where this is like, we're feeling this chant. That's why I'm still like fine with that. Chant it all you want. But when WWE, when it's an editor back there going, okay, this is when they would, no, you're getting ahead of yourself now. And now you're telling us what is awesome. And
yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I didn't mind it. It got a lot more noticeable as they started, like toward the end of the match, they started pumping in more and the crowds got louder. Like 2,000 more people showed up. Another 3,000 people showed up. That, then it started getting a little bit much, but like, don't pump in the chants. I'm fine with the crowd noise, but not the chants.
Like, if you have like reactions to a big move where the crowd just makes noise, but not chanting.
Yeah.
They were doing some of that tonight and that was fine. Absolutely fine. It did feel to me like the piped in chants were actually spurring the developmental guys on to carry on the chants.
They didn't hear them.
It was definitely the applause lights that weren't, were theoretically not there that, yeah, like the chants that were piped in, you could tell is like, okay guys, it's time to do this one. And then you would see them start going.
I didn't even think that. I think they didn't even know those chants were going because I think the noise came in afterwards. I don't think the developmental knew what was being told. Let's be real.
I don't think the crowd noise was actually, pumped in like live at the time.
That was all post.
It's hard to say because you had guys in the crowd like clapping and not chanting to the "This is awesome" chant. Like you would hear the piped in crowd though go "This is awesome," and then everybody would clap at the right time.
Yeah, but at the same time, Casey, you have to think of like a sound engineer. You can actually set that up in post production when you're doing your video editing to have that, you know, the soundtrack actually line up.
Oh, I'm not doubting that part. It's just,
yeah, that can actually line up after the fact.
If I was in a crowd and everybody else was chanting "This is awesome," I'm either going to fully join in or not join in at all. I'm not going to listen to people talk and then clap with them. That's kind of what I'm getting at.
Yeah, no, I get it. But at the same time, it could be a case of some people were screaming, "This is awesome," while other people were just clapping. Like you say, you're going to join in or not. This is what some people do. They'll just clap, right? But they, over the, you know, the actual video, you can't hear anybody saying "This is awesome," thanks in large part to the plexiglass partition.
That's fair.
But that could be a whole different topic for the next day. But, the match themselves, you guys said it. They pulled out, almost all the stops. In fact, we didn't just get them using their own finishers. We didn't just get them trading each other's finishers. We got, 7 finishers. I think the count was from 7 different past superstars.
Just straight up stealing other people's moves, just left and right at that point.
Yeah, I mean,
it's like there's no storyline reason for. We're just doing it.
Well, the only thing I could think of was what you had all of these retired wrestlers talk about. It's going to be the greatest match ever, right?
Okay, so we're going to steal your moves. Thanks for the vote of confidence. I'm ripping you off now.
Yeah, there you go. But what did we get? We got both of them did the Three Amigos. We had an Olympic Slam. Edge did Christian's I'm Prettier.
Which is
the Rock Bottom.
And the Rock Bottom.
See, the unprettier makes sense.
It did.
And so does the pedigree.
The pedigree kinda makes sense. He's had so many problems with Trips since Evolution broke up.
Like, for real?
Yeah.
Someone on Twitter pointed out, like, we're into the pedigree, so Edge to the Rock Bottom because, you know, the Triple H to the Rock rivalry.
Okay, that's the line commentary fed you to get you to go with that move.
Mm-hmm. Was that what they said on commentary?
Yeah.
Okay. I couldn't hear all the commentary. Yeah.
We also had the attempted sharpshooter.
We think.
It could have been an educator.
Yeah. I was waiting for the big boot and leg drop, brother.
We didn't get that one, but we got the impaler.
You mean his actual finish?
Yeah. Along with the spear and the RKO and the Stone Cold Stunner, and we had a diamond cutter. In case you didn't, you notice an ace crusher?
Yeah, I saw the ace crusher.
I swear to God, that is a diamond cutter.
I don't know. If you look at like the angle that he like listed lazily to the left as he fell, it's pretty much an ace crusher.
Yeah, what do you know about wrestling?
Nothing. Nothing at all.
Clearly, nothing.
We've learned. Yeah, it's not like he was trained by Lance Storm or anything, guys.
Who's that? Kidding.
Did they use a Lance Storm move too? Did I miss that?
I saw no half crack.
Yeah, there was no Lance Storm move.
That we know of. I mean,
there you go.
I mean, he might have taught him how to do an arm drag. I mean, it might have been Lance Storm arm drag. Who knows? Who knows?
So, yeah, the strong rumor, going into tonight, this match was, taped in advance. That's not the rumor.
Last Sunday it was taped.
But it was taped in advance last Sunday. The very strong rumor is Edge is now, out due to injury for probably up to a minimum 6 months, if not longer, because he allegedly tore his tricep during this match.
I don't think there's anything allegedly about it.
I was just doing the couch thing. I didn't see.
You couldn't. You
actually where he could have hurt his arm, but Omega brought up the point they could have edited around it.
They could have, and they
for all we know, they stopped the match for like 10 minutes for Edge to collect himself.
Which they could have. But there are also spots where you could see, okay, maybe on the spear, maybe on one of the DDTs, or there was a shot where he bounced into the ropes and he could have hooked it. You don't know.
Yeah, the one spot where it looked most possible to me where he may have torn it was where he got his arms hung up on the rope. He twisted in a funny way. His hand was still grabbing the top rope from underneath and his whole arm turned funny.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking if they didn't edit it out, that is probably the most likely, spot where he injured himself.
We'll know for sure at some point. I figure Edge will come out and sort of detail it probably in a couple days. Maybe tomorrow. Once they confirm it with him and they put it out there and all that fun stuff. Oh.
Yeah. So. But, really, really good, really enjoyable, match. It's one of these things where you feel like the main event makes the entire pay-per-view, and I'm having a hard time disagreeing with my own assessment.
Should mention the finish came with the punt. We brought back the punt.
The punt came back. I forgot to, yeah. So, and of course that means that Randy Orton got the pinfall win.
And told Edge to go home.
Yeah, Tim, you caught something.
Oh, at the end where Randy's talking to him really quietly, Edge lying on the canvas, staring up at the ceiling, not blinking. A tear rolled out of the corner of his right eye and down. And that was, right in the middle of Randy's little mumbled, yapping at him to go home.
Yeah, cause Randy probably said something and, yeah, touched him.
Well, one, Edge has been trained to be an actor for a while now. He could have learned how to do that.
Well, it's easy. He wasn't blinking.
but also, like, there could have been some genuine emotion of like, he knew, at that point, if he knew he was injured, of course he did.
I mean, you can clearly see it on the arm. But this was his first wrestling match in 9.5 years. Discount WrestleMania because that was a fight. This was his first match in 9.5 years, and, you know, he's bound to be emotional over it.
It was a hell of a match and did a great job. Yeah, go ahead, Omega.
Oh, yeah, he's been out that long. He finally gets to come back. He finally, you know, he's fought this hard to get back, and then he just gets injured. You know, you don't know how severe it is laying in there. You just know it hurts a lot. So in his head at that moment, he has no idea this is the end again.
Yeah.
Like all that fighting, all, you know, everything he did to get back, all the tests, everything he did to get his body back in shape. And it might all just be down the drain again.
Unfortunately.
So if he's out that period of time, 6 months to 9 months, probably. Because I think Ambrose was out up to 9 when he tore his.
Almost a year, yeah, for Ambrose. It was longer than 9 months.
That throws around WrestleMania time.
Mm-hmm.
It sucks. So if he wants to come back, then... Which I figure he would.
It will be nice. It would be nice to find out tomorrow. It's not as bad as all the rumors are making it. And they're holding off announcing just how bad or not bad it is until tomorrow.
We'll see.
So, yeah. Does anybody have anything else to say about this match?
Huge props to Samoa Joe.
Yes.
Yes.
Exactly. You're the one who said it.
Yeah, the energy he put into this, all, you know, like, it was, I don't know if I'm going to, like, if this is the right thing for me to say, or if this is, because this is, like, it's how I honestly feel. There's parts of me that got like vibes of like, Jim Ross in his prime where I could feel, it felt like he was so into that match and what was going on. And he was doing such a good job of making it sound like this was such an important match.
Very high, very emotional energy.
Yeah. And I could tell like all the announcers, even Byron is like really trying. Like they're trying to put as much emotion into it as possible, but like Joe in particular just stood out. It's like he's really going for it. Oh. And I genuinely believe that this is important the way he is selling it.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of Samoa Joe, there was something we have mentioned. He had the line of the night when it came back from the Street Profits Viking Raiders bit. He goes, "Ninjas can certainly ruin a night."
If anyone would know,
it would be Samoa Joe.
Okay, yeah, line of the night.
That's good.
There it is. And that's Backlash, everybody. But we're not done yet.
No, not done. Pick 'em, Tim. Go.
It's pick 'em time. Okay, so what's this magic wheel of fun, Rock?
We have a wheel. We spin.
This is new news to me.
Didn't we go over it last week? I don't know. We've had a wheel now. It's a magical wheel of fun. Oh, we went over it on the Takeover show. That's I told him I got mad at it. Yeah, we have a magical wheel of fun. All right, hold on. We'll show for the live stream here in a second. Give me one moment. We'll bring up the wheel of fun. We actually have
I'm waiting.
So, yeah. So we have a wheel.
Switch.
We're going over.
Switch up.
I had to load up Chrome. So, yeah, give me a second. So we have a wheel, and we spin it, just like so.
Option 2.
And we have a wheel.
And auction, whatever you have that set up. All right.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right. So there it is. Well, the Magic Wheel of Fun sucks because it only got one right, 6 wrong.
Well, you know, it's a wheel. I tried.
There you go. The 8-Ball Rob and Sheila tying in 12th place with 3 correct, 4 incorrect. Omega missed a couple of matches, but you got 4 right and 1 wrong on the guesses that you made, the predictions or whatever. You're all alone in 11th place.
Yeah.
Tied for 5th place, Rock, Lindsay, Subway, Jobber, Amy, Chris P, you all went 4-3. Mm-hmm. Coming in all alone in 4th place, Tommy at 5-2. And this is just, I don't know, 2-way tie, 2nd place, me with the intern, 6-1. And that means our winner for the first time ever, at least as a, member of, the on-air team here. Congratulations, Casey.
Sweet.
7-0, mofo.
Nice.
Yeah.
I think I did that once before, like,
just as a listener.
As a listener.
There you go. What, going perfect or winning?
I think winning. I don't think I've ever gone perfect.
Well, now you can say that you've gotten perfect.
Which means I should probably retire while I'm on top.
Yeah, except that you can't because you're going to be doing the next pay-per-view next month.
No. Well, so this will be the first time I've been undefeated in anything wrestling related, so I'll take it.
Well, I would disagree with you, except that I was your booker for a bunch of shows, and yeah, no, I don't think I ever booked you to win.
No, I give Curt Hawkins a run for his money.
There you go. All right, so that's the webcast for tonight, everybody.
No,
who's tuning in live.
We're not done.
Are we not done?
No, we got fantasy results.
Oh my god!
Season ends tonight.
So many results.
So many results. So many things to cover. It's been back and forth at the end. Tim took a lead, then he lost his lead. But did Tim get back his lead is the big question. Do you think he did, Tim?
No, I have a funny feeling that minus 14 is mine.
No. The minus 14 was from sabotage. There's a minus 14 hanging around.
Oh shit.
To be dropped on somebody.
Okay.
That's what I meant. But Tim, you
think that's a better sabotage than we got the last time.
So, what helped you was you had a lot of champions retained. You got 52 points this week, Tim.
That's the highest, that's even higher than the last time.
Because you had a lot of champions retained tonight.
Yay.
And AJ Styles won the Intercontinental title on Friday.
Sweet! And, like, that was points for me. That's right, I forgot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, you had 52 points.
Alright, what was the sabotage on it?
Team Geek Team Geek Phrases for the week had 15. Team One Brain had 20. So here's your final tallies for the season. 419 for Team Geek Phrases.
Hmm.
Blame pregnancy.
Blame pregnancy. I mean, you could. You really could.
Trying to figure that one out.
With,
Brent's expecting.
Oh, okay. And he thought he was just fat.
Yeah. 503 to 524 is the finals.
Mm-hmm.
Team Canada had 524. Team Brain had 505.
Holy shit, really?
Uh-huh.
Doing the maths, if there's a minus 14 hanging over anybody's head and it's mine, I still have enough points to win.
Tim, you did in fact win this season.
Yay! Which is amazing because I started out way back in third place.
Yeah, then.
I'm talking like I was 100 points back.
Mm-hmm. Then.
And then some.
And then we both sides lost our teams. the minus 14 went to Team Geek Phrases.
Ow. Oh. Ouch.
That to end at 404. So it was my sabotage, me and Lindsay sabotaging Geek Phrases. We gave you guys our truth.
Oh. Oh. Oh shit. Who did I sabotage?
You sabotaged me, Tim. Me and Lindsay.
Okay.
You gave us No Way Jose. -3. Only -3.
Team Geek Phrases. What did they sabotage me and by how much?
They sabotaged you 4 points. With Lucha House Party.
Yeah, and it was only 4 points?
Only 4 points.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, because they stopped showing up.
And coming in dead last was Team Shame at 118 points.
Wow.
Thank God.
Yeah, no one did bad against Team Shame. Even though there were some weeks where they tried. Team Shame featured Tozawa.
Got points tonight.
He did. He got 1 point. That helped. Brock Lesnar, Humberto Carrillo, Gallus, Tony Storm, the Singh Brothers, Angel Garza, Drew Gulak, the Iconics, the former Cruiserweight Champion Jordan Devlin, Tyler Breeze, Dolph Ziggler, Tony Nese, the NXT UK Women's Champion, Kaylee Ray, and Mustafa Ali. So it was a pretty good, solid team that
It just has a very good mix of people who got fired and people who stopped showing up.
Mainly because of the pandemic, half the people weren't. And they had a couple few NXT UK people.
I feel like this whole thing was just kind of a weird wash because of that.
Tim's team was the only team, he did not lose anyone to the pandemic.
I'm just, to the cuts, you mean?
No, to both. Like, I had Imperium, they lost their TV show for now because pandemic.
So my strategy actually paid off. Holy shit, I gotta remember that.
We had Roman Reigns and, well.
He said, fuck you, I won't do it.
Then Becky got pregnant for Geek Freezes. He also lost Eric Rowan and Rusev. everyone had some stuff to happen.
We were the only team that lost because of insemination.
Yeah, I mean, you can only go up from there next season. So there you go. That's fantasy.
You can either only go up or even further out there, but don't go there. So that's it. That's officially the show for this evening. Thanks for tuning in live. Those of you who tuned in live. For those of you who listen to the archives throughout the week, we also thank you, and you're a very, very, very big important part of what we do here, even though you can't, for whatever reason, catch us doing this on Sunday nights. So thank you for downloading the archives. Tomorrow night, immediately following Raw, it's a post-show.
It's Raw post-show, 11 p.m. Eastern. But before we get to all that, about 1:45 p.m. Eastern, we'll be live at twitch.tv/WTOLive for the device in Fortnite. We'll be live streaming the event. You can watch it here at twitch.tv/WTOLive.
There you go. All right. And, of course, speaking about streaming on Twitch TV, Fortnite with friends.
That will happen after the Rack Thursday night. It's 10 p.m. Eastern.
Creator code Rock and Sock.
Hashtag Epic Partner. There's a new season coming up. Use the code.
There you go. And, of course, he said the Rack, Thursday night, 10 o'clock Eastern, it's another edition of the multi-time, multi-award-winning The Rack with the award-winning Lindsay Ward.
She'll be streaming at twitch.tv/Lindsay Ward tomorrow as well, her perspective of the device. So check that out. Follow her channel. But we're live to review Backlash on The Rack Thursday, 10 p.m. Eastern.
There you go. Of course, Saturday night's midnight-ish, or as close as we can get to it, the wild, the wacky, the unusual, the illegal in 38 states, CB Radio.
Yeah, we'll be live Saturday night, midnight-ish, for another Greater Than Great Debate, all that fun stuff at CB Radio, midnight-ish, CBRadio.com, GreaterThanGreatDebate.com.
There you go. And, of course, stay tuned to all of our social media for any talk and chatter about an episode of WTR Sunday Night next Sunday night, which will be brought to you by absolutely nobody because we don't have any sponsors. But back to our regular time, 8 o'clock Mountain, 10 o'clock Eastern. Speaking about social media, follow Russ Talk Radio at WTR Sunday Night on Twitter. Wild Talk Radio, again, on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio. And we're also on Facebook, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network, facebook.com/groups/Wild Talk Radio Network. Facebook.com/what is it, Rock?
WTR Sunday Night.
There you go. That's absolutely correct. See, you didn't make a mistake this time. I'm proud of you. You can follow me on the Twitter machines at Flames Forums. You want to get politically incorrect and no holds barred, uncensored, and find out how opinionated I can be, follow me at Voicing Sanity. I now have a third Twitter that is active. You can follow at Man Kitchen TV if you are hungry, because that's all about food. And Keishi, you better start following that account because you love it. Just like throwing it out there. So
I am hungry.
There you go. You got three accounts that you can follow, and you'll get three different sides of Tim, which is different from the three faces of Eve. Don't even go there. Just watch the movie. Of course, my footprint may be growing, but I got a long way to go to catch up to the plastic addict.
You know, I really should throw together something with all my socials just so you realize just what you say there.
What did I say?
It's just, yes, I am all-encompassing on the internet because that is what I do. If you want to follow me over on Facebook, that can be found at TJ Reviews, but most other places you can find me under the name TJ Omega. That is the Twitter handle. That is the YouTube channel with over 1,000 videos for the content. And for a little bit more content that YouTube does not allow, you can go see it at tjomega.net.
I think it should all be there too. Anyway, that's just me. Casey has Twitter.
I do. You can find me on Twitter at KyleDriver. I thought which about like changing it to Casey so I wouldn't have to worry about telling people to replace the P with the K for spelling KyleDriver, but then I realized no one knows how to spell Casey, so I just left it.
There you go. You could always put, I'm not Subway.
That's true.
No, you can't because it's too long. It won't fit.
I'm also eating Subway in the picture.
There you go. That's why I keep bringing it up, because I pick on you. But yeah, there it is, everybody. I'd like to thank you all once again. Closing words, Cash.
Yeah. There was a wonderful pay-per-view. At least the bread of the backlash sandwich was good. The filler, some things were good, some were not.
Interesting. But I heard a rumor you might be actually wrestling live in July, potentially.
July, potentially, yes. Now that we have up here entered a phase where things are opening up.
Phase two.
There's a very good chance you might see me in July. At the very least, I'll be training in July. Thank
there
goodness.
There you go.
I miss arm drags.
Oh, well, then we can talk about that, because you can always go to the Performance Center and get Ollie to arm drag you.
No, I want to practice my arm drags.
Oh, you don't want to get arm dragged. You didn't specify.
Well, you know, you take some, you give some. It's okay. A very give and take industry.
Yeah, this is true. There you go. All right, final thoughts, final words, Omega.
Cloaca.
The hell was that?
It's a very beautiful word, but it is also an organ on insects and some reptiles. It is a combination urethra, asshole, and vagina.
Okay, and you just thought you'd throw that out there for the shits and the giggles?
You asked me for final words.
Okay, and
that is your word for the day.
There you go. That's the word for the day. So that is now the secret word. So if anybody says it, we'll all have a freak out. And there you go. All right. Rock, final words.
This has been WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We'll see you all week long across the airwaves on Wild Talk Radio Network right here at wildtalkradio.com and twitch.tv/WTR Live.
You still talk way too fast. Have such a great week, everybody.
WildTalkRadio.com.